الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد Verse 215 of Surah Al-Baqarah from the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir ibn Sa'di rahmatullahi alayh. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يسألونك ماذا ينفقون قل ما أنفقتم من خير فللوالدين والأقربين واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل وما تفعلوا من خير فإن الله به عليم 215 please in English interpretation of meaning in English تفضل بسم الله
The
actual
Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم say whatever you spend of good must be for parents and kinder and for parents and masakin and the wayfarers and whatever you do good is truly Allah the most well.
بارك الله فيك يقول الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى وعفى عنا وعنه أي يسألونك عن النفقة وهذا يعم السؤال عن المنفق والمنفق عليه maybe this should be عن المنفق والمنفق عليه على كل حال لا عن المنفق والمنفق عليه صح They ask you, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, concerning spending. What should they spend? And this question encompasses both the what is spent, the substance or the material itself, and whom is it spent on? What are you spending? فلوس, otherwise, and who are you spending it on? فأجابهم عنها فقال So Allah Azza wa Jal answered them excuse me by saying قل ما أنفقتم من خير أي مال قليل أو كثير فأولى الناس به وأحقهم بالتقديم أعظمهم حقا عليك Whatever wealth you spend be it a little or a lot the people who have the most right to attain this money and those who should be given precedence over others are those who have the greatest right upon you وَهُمُ الْوَالِدَانِ and they are your parents your own parents الْوَاجِبُ بِرُّهُمَا وَالْمُحَرَّمِ عُقُوقُهُمَا the ones whom it is obligatory to be dutiful to and it is prohibited to be undutiful to You have to be dutiful to your parents. It's haram to be undutiful to them. وَمِنْ أَعْظَمِ بِرِّهِمَا النَّفَقَةِ عَلَيْهِمَا وَمِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْعُقُوقِ تَرْكِ الْإِنْفَاقُ عَلَيْهِمَا أو تَرْكُ الْإِنْفَاقِ عَلَيْهِمَا Among the greatest means of dutifulness is spending on one's parents. And among the worst kinds of undutifulness is depriving them of spending. Subhanallah. ولهذا كانت النفقة عليهما واجبة على الولد الموسر. This is why spending on them is obligatory upon the wealthy child. Obligatory. You got money? You have money enough for you to survive. It doesn't mean that you should have 50,000 riyals waiting for you in the bank. If you have money for you to survive and you got extra money, it's an obligation to spend on the parents. Allahu musta'an. ومن بعد الوالدين الأقربون على اختلاف طبقاتهم. And after the parents are your relatives with their various levels. الأقرب فالأقرب. Those who are nearest than those who are nearest. And you begin in terms of who is nearest to you in relation, in terms of blood relation, then you expand from inwardly, then you go outwardly, not the other way around. You don't begin with the far relatives and then you go into the near relatives. على حسب القرب والحاجة, depending on two things, the nearness of their relation with you and their need. Maybe a need of someone is more than the other. فَالْإِنْفَاقُ عَلَيْهِمْ سَبَقَ وَصِلَ Excuse me. Spending on them brings about two benefits. First, it is charity, which you will be rewarded for bi-idhnillah, with goodness. Second, it is sila, which is what? Keeping the kinship ties. Maintaining blood relations, or otherwise, maintaining relations with relatives. وَالْيَتَامَى Afterwards, so first the parents, then the relatives, the closest, the nearest, then going out. وَالْيَتَامَى Who are the yatama? the orphans from yatim. Yatim is orphan. Yatama, plural of one, singular. One orphan, singular. Orphans, plural, yatama in Arabic. وَهُمُ الصِّغَارَ الَّذِينَ لَا كَاسِبَ لَهُمْ فَهُمْ فِي مَظَنَّةِ الْحَاجَةِ. These are those who are below the age of discretion, and they have no one to provide for them, so they are assumed to be in the state of need. لِعَدَمْ قِيَامِهِمْ بِمَصَالِحِ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَفَقْدِ الْكَاسِبِ. Because they cannot maintain themselves, and there's no one to take care of that element for them. فَوَصَّ اللَّهُ بِهِمْ الْعِبَادِ رَحْمَةً مِّنْهُ بِهِمْ وَلُطْفًا. So Allah Azza wa Jal had advised His slaves concerning the orphans as mercy and gentleness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and kindness from Him to His creation. وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَهُمْ أَهْلُ الْحَاجَاتِ وَأَرْبَابِ الضَّرُورَاتِ الَّذِينَ أَسْكَنَتْهُمُ الْحَاجَةِ. These are the people of major needs and necessities, those who have been forced, the need has caused them to remain behind or below the standards. Yani the ulama define, by the way, the ulama make a distinction, alaykum salam, between the faqir and the miskin. And many people don't know that. The faqir is a level lower than the miskin. The miskin actually is better than the faqir. So usually people say, ana miskin, nafar miskin. And if they really want to refer to him as in the lower state, they should say faqir. Because faqir is one who makes less than half of what he needs. If he needs 500 riyals, and he's making less than 250, he is a faqir. A miskin is one who, let's say, needs 500 riyals, but he's making 375. Above than half, still not enough to maintain him and his family. This is the miskin. You follow me? Beautiful. I'm going to question you, inshallah, in the future about the variation between miskin and faqir, and I hope somebody will be able to give me an adequate, correct answer. حسنًا فينفق عليهم لدفع حاجاتهم وأغنائهم. So these people are to be spent upon in order to alleviate their difficulty and to fulfill their needs. وابن السبيل أي الغريب المنقطع به في غير بلده فيعان على سفره بالنفقة التي توصله إلى مقصده. Ibn al-Sabil is translated into English in one of two ways. Either they say the traveler or the wayfarer. W-A-Y-F-A-R-E-R. Traveler or wayfarer. The meanings are almost the same. Wayfarer may be more applicable because of the nature of the travel when these ayahs were revealed. Nowadays travel is like, you know, you're hanging out in a nice fancy, you know, Airbus something, and you know, you fly. Right. A wayfarer is someone who usually struggles in the process, maybe going on a donkey or a camel, something along these lines. So what happens, the Ibn Sabin then is one who is estranged in the land other than his, and he does not have the means to go back to his home. So then helping him in order to reach his destination. Someone who was traveling, he came from Syria to the kingdom on a camel, for instance, right? And on the way there in Lebanon, he ran out of food, he was robbed, something along these lines. And he wants to continue his journey to Saudi Arabia or Hajj, for example, or he wants to return. He doesn't have means to return. Helping him go back to his, giving him an amount, giving him an animal or fulus or whatever will help his brother go back to his destination. These are, you know, among the people who we spend on. حسناً. ولما خصص الله تعالى هؤلاء الأصناف لشدة الحاجة عمم تعالى فقال وما تفعل من خير من صدقة على هؤلاء وغيرهم بل ومن جميع أنواع الطاعات والقربات لأنها تدخل في اسم الخير فإن الله به عليم. طيب. After Allah Azza wa Jalla has specified these particular individuals due to their extreme need, Allah Azza wa Jalla went on to generalize and He said, whatever you spend of goodness, any kind of goodness you do actually, not spend, تفعلوا, you do. Any action of goodness you do, be it a sadaqah upon those or others, or any kind of acts of obedience, any act of worship which you do for the sake of Allah, and all of this is included under the word khair, ما تفعلوا من خير, from good, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. Verily Allah is all knowing of it. فَيُجَازِيكُمْ عَلَيْهِ. Allah will reward you for for that with goodness. ويحفظه لكم كل على حسب نيته وإخلاصه. And Allah will keep record of it, right? Allah will record it for each one of you depending on his intention and his sincerity. And the scholars say, ₹1 spent in the cause of Allah from a sincere brother who is in need of this money and he is spending it for the sake of Allah is better than 20 million billion riyals spent by someone who has a lot of money and is not sincere. He wants to gain a reputation afterwards to say that this person is showing off, this person is generous, and so on and so forth. See, so sincerity then and the niyyah is actually the point of distinction. It's that crucial point in the acts of worship in terms of reward of goodness from Allah Jalla Jalalu. طيب وكثرت نفقته وقلتها. And also how much you spend, whether it is abundant or otherwise. وشدة الحاجة إليها. How needed is that money you spend? Is the person in dire need? The more he is in need, the more reward بإذن الله. وعظم وقعها ونفعها. And the benefit which it brings about for the one whom it was spent upon. So all these are taken into consideration. Who measures them? Allah. No one knows. When we give the money or otherwise, we are unable to understand the realities of these issues. It is Allah who knows all of the intricate details of this transaction, and consequently the slave will be rewarded with goodness according to that niyyah of his or her. Jayyid. Now these are among the most fundamental ayat in the book of Allah that have a lot of wisdoms and teachings and benefits in them. So pay attention. كتب عليكم القتال وهو كره لكم وعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا وهو خير لكم وعسى أن تحبوا شيئا وهو شر لكم والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون. Read please, verse
216. Though you dislike a thing which is good for you, and that you like a thing which is bad for you, Allah knows what you do not know.
بارك الله فيك. يقول الشيخ رحمة الله عليه هذه الآية فيها فرض القتال في سبيل الله بعدما كان المؤمنون مأمورين بتركه لضعفهم وعدم احتمالهم لذلك. This particular ayah contains the obligation of fighting in the cause of Allah after the believers had been commanded to abandon this fighting due to their weakness and them being unable to maintain it. They're unable to handle it. فَلَمَّا هَاجَرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ وَكَثُرَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ وَقَوُّ أَمَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِالْقِتَالِ وَأَخْبَرَ أَنَّهُ مَكْرُوهٌ لِلنُّفُوسِ. After the Prophet of Allah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ migrated to Medina and the Muslims increased in numbers and they became strong, they were strengthened with this with the numbers they had. أمرهم الله تعالى بالقتال. Allah commanded them to fight in His cause, and He informed them that this is something that is disliked for them. Naturally, people love life. Nobody wants to die. No one, in reality, wants to die. Even Aisha told that to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم when he told her in the hadith, من أحب لقاء الله أحب الله لقاءه. Whosoever loves to meet Allah, Allah will love to meet him. She said, O Messenger of Allah, how can someone love, which one of us does not hate death? He عليه الصلاة والسلام did not deny that expression. He did not say, no, we hate death. He said, it is not that, O Aisha. He acknowledged her statement or understanding. However, he explained that when the servant is about to depart from this life and he is in a state of goodness, he would love to meet Allah and Allah would love to meet him. But reality, people don't like to die. So Allah said, this fighting was prescribed upon you even though it is something that is disliked. to the souls. لما فيه من التعب والمشقة وحصول أنواع المخاوف والتعرض للمتالف. Because of the fatigue and the difficulty therein and the various kinds of fear which you may come across and also exposing oneself to destruction. ومع هذا فهو خير محض لما فيه من الثواب العظيم والتحرز من العقاب الأليم والنصر على الأعداء والظفر بالغنائم. However, with that, it is pure good. It is pure goodness because of what it contains from the great reward and protection from the severe punishment and victory over the enemies and winning and occupying the war booties. وغير ذلك مما هو مرب على ما فيه الكراهة. And other things which will teach you to fight and struggle against that which you may dislike. وعسى أن تحبوا شيئا وهو شر لكم. And perhaps you may hate something, afwan, you may love something, but it is bad for you. It is evil for you. ومثل ذلك مثل القعود عن الجهاد لطلب الراحة فأنه شر. Similarly, an example of that, the Sheikh said, is that you prefer to relax, remain behind during jihad. Because you want to relax, you want comfortability. Even though you may love that thing, it is pure evil for you to remain behind when the Muslims are in need. لأنه يعقب الخذلان, الخذلان. Because it will be followed up with humiliation. وتسلط الأعداء على الإسلام وأهله. And Muslim, and the enemies of Islam will occupy the Muslims and its people. وحصول الذل والهوان, الذل والهوان, and also humiliation and disgrace. وفوات الأجر العظيم, and missing out on the great reward. وحصول العقاب, and the attainment of punishment. And so you see, my brothers in Islam, in case you have any misconceptions about jihad, because we have discussed this particular issue many times, but we always have newcomers, right? And whenever there's a newcomer, you have to give him the benefit of the doubt that this information may be shocking to someone. Like, whoa! Hey! They were telling me in the beginning Islam is peace! Peace! Only peace! Islam, peace, peace, Islam, love, peace, love the world, love the people, love the love, love. So what's up with this fighting? Huh? We say, I'm sorry that the people lied to you in the beginning. I don't know who gave you da'wah, but he was a liar. A liar. Islam is not strictly peace. Islam is submitting to the will of Allah, which includes jihad, and that will bring about peace. Okay? Jihad is means, not an objective. This is what you need to know. Jihad is means. It's a path, not a goal. Our goal is not to fight. Huh? Our goal is to have peace. However, at times peace may not be acquired or established unless there's a fighting in the process. So jihad becomes means for the objective. What is that objective? That Allah's word is the most supreme. When Allah's word is the most supreme and everyone is abiding by the rule of Allah, consequently you will have peace. Because in Islam, you cannot steal, you cannot lie, you cannot fornicate, you cannot drink alcohol. If everyone abided by the laws of Islam, there would be no need for police. Everybody would be doing good, but this is not the reality. So then we say, this fighting is not to spill blood. It's not to kill people. Rather, when the Muslims fought against their enemies, this was the last thing on the list. What was the first thing on the list? Inviting them to Islam. Faddalu, come in, learn the deen of Allah, accept the religion of truth. If they said, we don't want to do so, we don't like Islam, I want to be a Christian, say, no problem. You may keep your religion, but we are the followers of the final messenger who was commanded and who was sent to mankind, and it is our obligation to convey this religion to mankind. And mankind, alaykum salam, mankind inhabit the whole earth. So we need to go around the whole earth so we may convey the deen of Allah to the people. Your land is in our way. So here's what we will do. We're going to run this land because we need it in order to convey the deen of Allah and give the people the chance to accept Islam, right? And you may remain under our protection. Keep your churches, keep your rabbis, keep your priests, keep your everyone. Keep your religion. We will not prevent you from what you're doing. And you will pay taxes and we will protect you. No one can harm you. If an outside army came to attack you, we Muslims will defend you. You are the people of Dhimma. If somebody killed one of you, wrongfully, the Prophet ﷺ said this Muslim will not smell the fragrance of Jannah. If he killed a non-Muslim under the protection of Islam, look at these rights. They were allowed to keep their religion, maintain their belief system. However, they just had to accept the fact that the Islamic State must spread. If they refused that, then they was fighting not against women or against children or against the elderly, it was against men on the battlefield. And once they surrendered and they called for peace, then we will go for it as well. This is justice. Find me a single nation on earth who has this kind of methodology, you will never be able to do so. And the worst on the list of all are the Crusaders. The Crusaders, the Christian Crusaders, are the worst of all mankind in terms of them having no mercy in the way they treat the other nations when they entered into the land of the Muslims and killed Muslims in the millions and forced Christianity upon them. Islam has never done so. Never was a person forced to enter into Islam. If they don't want Islam, we don't want you either. Stay out. No one will force you to pretend to be a Muslim, because in Islam you're a hypocrite. But for the Christians, they don't mind. Just say that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, they're fine with you. They don't care whether you're sincere or not, because they're not even sincere. So these are historical facts which we should be aware of. Don't believe the hype. Every time they come on BBC and CNN, you know, Muslim terrorists, Muslim this. Man, the terrorists are everybody else in the world. We are being terrorized. We Muslims are being killed in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in Iraq, anywhere you go, in the Philippines, anywhere you go. Muslims are being victimized. Muslims are being slaughtered. And if anyone was to complain, they say jihadis. You know, this and that. This is nonsense, right? So these ideas we need to demolish. We need to eliminate them from our lives. This jihad is from the deen of Allah, for a noble cause and objective. And no one can deny it or pretend that it does not exist. However, we say it has guidelines. It is not sporadic. It is not spontaneous. It is not unorganized. It is organized. So much so that the life of every person is taken into consideration. Whether this person is to be killed or not is something that Islam holds great value to. So much so that when one of the Sahaba was in the battlefield against the Kuffar and this Kafir had killed tens of Muslims, when he was about to kill him, the Muslim, you know what the man said? La ilaha illallah. And the Sahabi, he said, this liar man, you've been killing us 10 minutes ago, you were killing Muslims, now you're going to accept Islam when the sword is above your head? Now you will think that this is a legitimate thing. When he went to the Prophet ﷺ, he told him, you killed him after he said, La ilaha illallah? You killed him after he said, La ilaha illallah? Did you open his heart and see whether he was sincere or not? You see, because someone simply, because the soul was not a joke at that time. So then we say, if this is the understanding, then really, really, what some Muslims are doing in the name of Islam, by blowing up buildings and bombs and so forth, is really un-Islamic. It's un-Islamic. Because we don't have this kind of nonsense where innocent people are killed in the process. So if this is to be called terrorism, yes, we will acknowledge it. We say, yes, this is terrorism. The Muslims who did this are making a mistake, because Islam does not allow you to go beyond the borders. Now there's a big discussion among the ulama. This is another story. But the point being, to call what the Muslims are doing in terms of fighting for their right, the Islamic right, to be called terrorism is incorrect. It's jihad. But if they are killing innocent people at a grocery store, then we say, yeah, this is not from Islam. We agree. So is that clear? Is that clear?
Yes.
Everyone understand? You understand, my brother? Later. Ma'alisha. Remember it though. طيب. So the Sheikh said, وهذه الآيات excuse me, عامة مطربة في أن أفعال الخير التي تكرهها النفوس لما فيها من المشقة أنها خير بلا شك. The Sheikh said these ayat are general and it indicates that all acts of goodness which the soul may dislike and find difficulty in fulfilling is actually good without a doubt. وأن أفعال الشر التي تحبها النفوس لما تتوهمه فيها من الراحة واللذة فهي شر بلا شك. And the evil deeds which the soul inclines to and it assumes that there's comfortability and pleasure in it is evil without a doubt. وأما أحوال الدنيا فليس الأمر مطردا ولكن الغالب على العبد المؤمن أنه إذا أحب أمر من الأمور فقيد الله له من الأسباب ما يصرف عنه أنه خير له. As for the matters of the dunya, it is not the same. Usually if the believing servant loves a matter from the matters of the dunya and Allah decrees that he does not acquire it or attain it, so then this is good for him. You love to have a Ferrari or some other car and Allah decrees that you don't get it, it's good for you. نعم. فالأوفق له في ذلك أن يشكر الله. So the most befitting thing for you and the means of success is that you praise Allah, you thank Allah. ويعتقد الخير في الواقع, and to assume all good about the reality which you are living in. لأنه يعلم أن الله تعالى أرحم بالعبد من نفسه. Because Allah, he knows that Allah is more merciful to the slave than the slave is to himself. وأقدر على مصلحة عبده منه, and Allah has the means to bring about the benefit for a slave more than the slave is able to do this for himself. وأعلم بمصلحته من, Allah knows what is befitting for the slave and what is good for him more than the slave himself. كما قال تعالى والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون. As Allah says, verily Allah knows and you know not. فاللائق بكم أن تتمشوا مع أقداره سواء سرتكم أو سأتكم. So what is befitting for you is that you harmonize yourself with Allah's decree whether it makes you happy or otherwise. Now I remember Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziya rahimahullah ta'ala, he struck a beautiful similitude to explain this point furthermore. He went on to say that the deeds which Allah has prescribed upon us, the good deeds, the actions of the good actions which Allah has prescribed upon us, are like a medicine which is foul in taste. Are like a medicine which is foul in taste. Every time the taste tries to keep you away from taking the medicine, you remind yourself that healing lies therein. And consequently, you fight this urge of hating the taste in order to get the healing. So you take the medicine even if you don't like it, it's as far as taste. These are the good deeds. There may be some difficulty in them to fulfill them, praying 5 times a day for some people, fasting a whole month of Ramadan, doing Hajj, doing Umrah, so on and so forth. There may be some hardship. However, every time the shaitan tells you to relax, you remember that this similitude of Ibn Qayyim is like a medicine. It's good for you. It's good for you. Even if it appears to be difficult, it's good for you. On the other hand, the similitude of the evil that you like to do, but will result in your destruction is like that of a delicious looking cake. I know if you didn't have breakfast, I'm sorry for striking this example right now. Malish, don't imagine a very yummy cake. Imagine 50-50, so you will not leave this place in the middle of the dars and go buy one. It's like a delicious looking cake that has poison inside. Every time the appearance of the cake invites you to consume it, your mind reminds you that there's poison inside and that you will die. So even though it looks very delicious, you will not eat it. Similarly, the evil deeds. You like them. You like to have a girlfriend, you like to look at this woman, you like to listen to this song, and you like to watch this movie, and you like and you like and you like and we like and we like and we like. However, it is just like a cake with poison. Yes, you will have some fun for some short time, but then the damage that you will acquire due to that entertainment will be long lasting, maybe everlasting. Maybe everlasting. It may continue, you may continue to follow your desires until one of us leaves Islam. And if we leave Islam, then we will have everlasting destruction and punishment. Yeah? People leave Islam. Don't you hear about them? You hear about them. Why? Believe me, had they been on good terms with Allah, had they been obedient, Allah will never allow them to leave Islam. Allah will never let them leave Islam. Because Allah is merciful to His slaves. And Allah told us in the Quran, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ لِضَيَعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. Allah was never to waste your faith. So when does someone reach this point? When they were following their desires all the way. So that shahada which they made will become of no value. And pay attention now. Many people assume that leaving Islam is simply going to Christianity or Judaism or something along those lines. No. Abandoning the prayer 5 times a day is equal to leaving Islam. So if someone stops praying, he is just like someone who became a Christian. There is no difference between them in terms of their hukum. They're both considered apostates. Those who have turned away from Islam. Yes, what religion they went to is a different story, but this is unimportant. So not praying is not a joke. And someone who's negligent about the deen of Allah may eventually be deprived of salah. And my brothers, we have no control over the salah. It is by the will of Allah that you pray the 5 daily prayers. Wallah. Wallahi, by the will of Allah. If Allah will, you will never wake up for any salah. You will never go to any masjid in time of salah. We have no control. It is by the decree of Allah that He's merciful to us, that He allows us to do it. Yes, the intention is there, but it cannot be materialized unless Allah wills. So when a person does not fix his relationship with Allah, he may reach a point where he's unable to do the salah. And you see this in the Muslim ummah. You may have your own mudir. Your own mudir, your own kafil, your own whoever doesn't pray. We've heard this. We've seen this. No salah. These are disbelievers. Disbelievers. This is a whole other discussion. The ruling on the one who abandons salah. But this is the most strong opinion. The strongest opinion, afwan, is that the one who abandons salah is a kafir. Disbeliever. So we need to pay attention. So we understand the cake and the medicine. Huh? There's difficulty, but it's good. Go to the salah early. It's difficult because you like to hang out with the brothers after the dars. Come on, man, let's socialize. Let's talk about what we ate last night. Oh, last night we had fun set with, you know, big fat chicken, blah blah blah. We spent half an hour. Malish, I'm not picking on any nationality, any country, whatever food they eat. For the brothers from India, Pakistan, biryani, and from Lebanon, in kusa, and then the list goes on. We sit there, talk about our bellies. Huh? Half an hour, 45 minutes, this restaurant, miya miya, this midri'ish, you know, you must try the shawarma. People in the masjid reciting the Quran and we're gir 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 about nothing. Now, we like it. Any human being usually likes that. Hey, it's fun, you know, we strength. The shaitan tells him, strengthen the brotherhood, man, you know, making the brotherhood tight. That way we talk about these things. Not because we love food, not because of anything else, but it's disguised in the whole thing of, you know, that we're doing it to strengthen the brotherhood. You may do it sometimes, but, you know, half an hour of conversation about food and clothes is too much. Had we went to the masjid early, that would have been far better for us on the day of Jumu'ah instead of socializing about nonsense. If we're talking about da'wah, alhamdulillah. Still, can't we do it on the way there? Can't we sit next to each other in the masjid and privately speak about whatever issues we have? You may do this in the masjid. Why do we have to wait here? Sometimes, by the grace of Allah, and I want to make this clear because some people have a misunderstanding. I always encourage the people to go early to Jumu'ah, and sometimes the brothers see me leaving here at 12:15. I say, man, you're telling us to go early, what are you doing here? I, by the grace of Allah, deliver khutbah in a number of places. Because of that, I go late. So if you see me going late, it's because I have to deliver the khutbah. The khatib doesn't go pray the sunnah and does not sit in the masjid, then suddenly get up on the minbar. He comes straight from the outside the masjid into the minbar. Right? This is how it is done. But for those who are not, I see the brothers outside. It's 12:15, 12:20, and most of the da'wah centers hanging outside. Their classes have been over, and so on and so forth. This is not right. Why don't we go early and get that reward? Yes, it's difficult, I know, but it's good. Just like the cake, just like the medicine, I'm sorry. So, I hope this is clear. ولما كان الأمر بالقتال لو لم يقيد شمل الأشهر الحرم وغيرها استثنى تعالى القتال في الأشهر الحرم فقال okay. Now when the command to fight for the cause of Allah was mentioned in broad terms and it was not restricted, and that included the four sacred months, which are what? The four sacred months, ya akhwan. Dhul Hijjah, Rajab, Ramadan, Muharram, the month we're in right now, Allah yastur alayna wa alaykum. Na'am. Tayyib. And three are, the way you can memorize them, three are consecutive and one is not. Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Afwan, Rajab, la, back. Muharram, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram are consecutive and Rajab is on the side. Tayyib, khalas. Masha'Allah, Tabarakallah. So Allah Azza wa Jal made an exception to the sacred months. فقال يسألونك عن الشهر الحرام قتال فيه قل قتال فيه كبير وصد عن سبيل الله وكفر به والمسجد الحرام وإخراج أهله منه أكبر عند الله والفتنة أكبر من القتل ولا يزالون يقاتلونكم حتى يردوكم عن دينكم إن استطاعوا ومن يرتد منكم عن دينه فيمت وهو كافر فأولئك حبطت أعمالهم في الدنيا والآخرة وأولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. 217 please.
First, 7, 11, the 12 months of the Islamic calendar. Say, fighting therein is a great transgression, but the greater transgression with Allah is to prevent mankind from following the way of Allah. So this belief needs to prevent access to Al-Masjid al-Haram, Mu'ammar, and to drive out its inhabitants, and al-fitna is worse than killing. And they will never cease fighting until they run. They turn you back from your religion, Islamic monotheism, if they can. And whosoever of you turns back from his religion and dies as a disbeliever, then his deeds will be lost in this life and in the hereafter, and they will be the pillars of the fire. He will abide therein forever.
بارك الله فيك. يقول الشيخ تعالى رحمه الله تعالى عفوا يقول الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى الجمهور على أن التحريم على أن تحريم القتال في الأشهر الحرام منسوخ بالأمر بقتال المشركين حيث ما وجدوا. The jumhur, meaning the vast majority of the scholars of Islam, are of the opinion that the prohibition of fighting in the sacred month has been abrogated by the command given by Allah for the mushrikeen to be fought wherever they may be. وقال بعض المفسرين أنه لم ينسخ لأن المطلق محمول على المقيد. However, other among those who interpret the meaning of the Quran, they said that it has not been abrogated. It has not been abrogated because the that which is general is to be understood in the light of that which has been specified. وهذه الآية مقيدة لعموم الأمر بالقتال مطلقا. And مقيدة. And this ayah, it restricts the meaning of that where Allah commanded that the disbelievers are to be fought in general. ولأن من جملة مزية الأشهر الحرم بل أكبر مزاياها تحريم القتال فيها. Furthermore, among the greatest virtues or merits of the sacred months, rather the greatest of them is that it is prohibited to fight in these months. وهذا إنما هو في القتال الابتداء في قتال الابتداء. And all this is concerning initiating fighting. وأما قتال الدفع فإنه يجوز في الأشهر الحرم كما يجوز في البلد الحرام. As for defensive fighting, then this is allowed in the sacred months and in the sacred land in Mecca. ولما كانت هذه الآية نازلة بسبب ما حصل لسرية عبد الله بن جحش وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. And when this ayah has been revealed due to what happened to the Sariya of Abdullah ibn Jahsh. Sariya is a delegation. وقتلهم عمرو بن الحضرمي وأخذ أموالهم. And some guy named Amr, he killed them and he took their wealth. وكان ذلك على ما قيل في شهر رجب. And that happened in the month of Rajab. عيرهم المشركون بالقتال بالأشهر الحرم. The mushrikeen, they criticized them and reprimanded them for fighting in the sacred months. وَكَانُوا فِي تَعِيرِهِمْ ظَالِمِينَ. And they were oppressors while doing so. إِذْ فِيهِمْ مِنَ الْقَبَائِحِ عَفْوًا مَا بَعْضُهُ أَعْظَمْ مِمَّا عَبَّرُوا عَيَّرُوا بِهِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Because these polytheists, they have of the evil qualities that which is so much greater than them having the nerve to criticize the Muslims. قال تعالى في بيان ما فيهم وصد عن سبيل الله. And depriving or interrupting or stopping the people from making it to the path of Allah عز وجل. أي صد المشركين من يريد الإيمان عفوا بالله وبرسوله وفتنتهم من آمن به وسعيهم في ردهم عن دينهم. So an examples are them preventing the people who want iman, who want to establish faith in Allah and His Messenger, وفتنتهم, and them putting them to trials, those who believe in Allah and His Messenger, and them striving to turn them away from their religion, وكفرهم, and their disbelief, الحاصل في الشهر الحرام والبلد الحرام, and they disbelieve in the sacred months and the sacred lands, الذي هو بمجرده كاف في الشر. That alone is the epitome of evil. This state of that they were in. Then they have the nerve. It's like someone, excuse me, who's filthy, who's dirty from head to toe, and then he sees a small spot on your throat, and he says, "Man, what is this, man? Look at this guy's dirty throat." It's like, excuse me, I mean, look at you, man, you have the nerve to come and pick on this tiny little thing on my throat and you don't see yourself. So, you know, it's like reprehensible for someone to come and make fun of you while he suffers your problem times 50. Hey. فكيف وقد كان في شهر حرام وبلد حرام. So how is it that if all this is in the sacred month and the sacred land, وإخراج أهله, and also driving the Muslims away from their land, أي أهل المسجد الحرام, the people of the Masjid al-Haram, وهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه. It is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions, وهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه, لأنهم أحق به من المشركين, وهم عماره على الحقيقة, because they have more right to the house, the Kaaba, than the mushrikeen. And they are the ones who really established it. Umar, they constructed it, not necessarily in a physical sense, but in terms of worshipping Allah alone. This is how they constructed the Kaaba. فَأَخْرَجُوهُمْ مِنْ. So they kicked them out, they drove them out. وَلَمْ يُمَكِنُوهُمْ مِنَ الْوُصُولِ إِلَيْهِ مَا عَنَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتَ سَوَاهُ الْعَاكِفِ فِيهِ وَالْبَادِ. And they did not allow them to make it, even though this house is open to everyone. The one who is there confining himself to the masjid, or the one who comes from a long distance, it is open for the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the mushrikeen prevented the Muslims from performing Umrah, you know, the year of Hudaybiyah. But Rasulullah went with the Sahaba to do the Umrah, and the mushrikeen prevented them from doing so. They have the nerve to stop the Muslims from worshipping Allah. فهذه الأمور كل واحد منها أكبر من القتل. All these matters, each one of them is greater than fighting. في الشهر الحرام, in the sacred month. فكيف وقد اجتمعت فيهم. How is it then if they're all combined in them. فعلم أنهم فسقة ظلمة في تعيرهم المؤمنين. So it is known to everyone and apparent that they are defiantly disobedient, oppressive in them criticizing the believers. So we will stop at this particular point, inshallah ta'ala, and we will continue the tafsir, bi'idhnillah, if we'll remain alive next week, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Sure.